KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's mostly cloudy and 10 degrees above zero in Atlantic at 8:02. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today. We'll have a high around 25. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, families in Mills County who were affected by this year's flooding along the Missouri River were able to get as much as $1,000 from the American Red Cross. The Lus Hills chapter of the Red Cross is offering the money to flood victims. Julie Chavez says she hopes her family will qualify for the Red Cross money because they were unable to get help from FEMA. Chavez says her family's home was surrounded by floodwaters in June, causing thousands of dollars of damage. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released massive amounts of water from the dams along the Missouri River earlier this year to deal with heavy rains and above-average snowmelt, causing record flooding in Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri. News time is 8:03.
Ho, ho, ho! Christmas is all about glimmering lights and the sounds of Christmas. Santa's belly laugh, sleigh bells ringing, Christmas colors singing, and even closer to home, the sounds of laughter for your children and your grandchildren.
This is audiologist Doug Leonard of ASI. As you gather around the piano or simply sit and visit with family and friends, make it an enjoyable time instead of a frustrating time. If you or a loved one is having difficulty hearing the people around you and the sounds of the season, we can help. We will schedule your hearing evaluation and answer your questions regarding your hearing and how it can be improved.
Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time, so enjoy all the signs and the sounds of season. So call ASI to make your Christmas a ho, 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 instead of a huh, huh, huh. ASI is offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Iowa Department of Transportation has awarded a large grant to Mills County for a proposed business corridor near Interstate 29. The county received an $876,510 grant to help pave a 1.25-mile stretch of 190th Street from Kane Avenue south to Highway 34. Local officials say the road, which is currently gravel, is central to a proposed 5,600-acre business complex, predominantly on the west side of I-29. Included in the pavement project are plans to elevate 190th Street to address flooding concerns. The Metropolitan Area Planning Agency teamed with the county and JEO Consulting, a Wahoo, Nebraska-based engineering firm, to apply for the grant. JEO's project manager said the paving project will cost about $1.2 million. The engineering firm developed a 30-year master plan for the business corridor, which now includes the Mid-America Motorplex and farm implement company AM Green Power. Officials say the corridor is prime for business thanks to the $140 million Highway 34 bridge project that will extend the highway from the I-29 Glenwood exit to U.S. Highway 75 in Nebraska. A portion of Highway 34, currently on the west side of I-29, will become a county road. Rick Alley, the business development manager for JEO, said the corridor would attract warehouses, manufacturing businesses, and commercial projects, including hotels, restaurants, and office parks. U.S. senators from seven Missouri River states are asking the Government Accountability Office to examine this year's heavy flooding throughout the river basin. The request was supported by 13 senators who are part of the Missouri River Working Group. The group includes senators from Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. The senators want the GAO to review several issues, including whether the Army Corps of Engineers followed its master manual for managing the Missouri River and what role meteorological forecasts played. They also want to know if environmental concerns such as protecting endangered species influenced flood control efforts. Iowa Farm Bureau members have chosen to replace their current president with a farmer from Warren County. On Thursday, Farm Bureau delegates picked current Vice President Craig Hill to lead the organization. Hill will replace Brooklyn dairy farmer Craig Lang, who's been president since 2002. Hill farms about 1,000 acres and raises swine near Milo. Lang, who serves on Iowa's Board of Regents as well, may have lost support among delegates because of policies he supported. For instance, a proposal he backed to require conservation practices in the next farm bill failed to gain support in September. Governor Terry Branstad says he'll ask the legislature to spend $50 million a year to reimburse local governments for the revenue they would lose from his proposed reductions in property taxes. Speaking Thursday at a gathering of reporters and editors organized by the Associated Press, Branstad noted he's built that spending into his five-year budget plan to assure local officials the state will shield them from a big revenue reduction. The governor argues that Iowa's commercial property taxes are far too high, and he will again ask lawmakers to reduce those taxes. Branstad wasn't able to get a commercial property tax cut through the 2011 legislature. He says he's open to giving local governments other options to raise revenue. Senate Majority Leader Michael Gronstall welcomed the governor's proposal. Whirlpool Corporation says it plans to add 250 production jobs and recall all laid-off workers at its refrigeration plant in Middle Amana. The company will add jobs during the first 3 months of 2012 and recall laid-off workers effective January 3rd. Whirlpool laid off 50 summer workers and 300 regular workers in July because of lower production demands. The plant makes refrigerators with bottom-mounted freezer compartments. Whirlpool announced in October that it plans to close a refrigerator plant in Fort Smith, Arkansas in mid-2012 because of decreasing demand for the side-by-side refrigerator models it produces. A Polk County judge says Governor Terry Branstad's line item veto of a bill that closed 36 unemployment offices in the state was unconstitutional. Branstad in July vetoed portions of a bill prohibiting the closure of the offices. He argued that it would have prevented Iowa workforce development from developing a more efficient system for helping the unemployed. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME, and six House and Senate Democrats filed a lawsuit in August contending a governor can't redirect money struck through a line item veto. The Des Moines Register says Judge Brad McCall ruled Thursday that for Branstad's veto to be valid, he must also veto the allocation. Branstad spokesman Tim Albrecht said the governor disagreed with the ruling and was considering how to respond. Iowa's unemployment rate remains well below the national average, but that isn't much comfort to those who are out of a job. Employment analyst Joanne Ruggi said that a recent survey finds that those who are employed aren't feeling confident about their job security.
Almost half of the workers surveyed, 48%, believe that their companies might be cutting benefits in the new year. And also 41% believe that their companies might lay off some workers.
State labor officials say Iowa's unemployment rate held steady at 6% in October compared to the national jobless rate at 9%. Despite the fears of the firings, Ruggi said that there were signs of optimism in the survey.
This survey showed that 73% of workers actually feel very secure in their company and with their jobs, so certainly a great sign to see that number's, pretty high.
Ruggi said there are numerous stable industries in Iowa that are continuing to grow and add employees.
Healthcare, pharmaceuticals, anything in information technology, engineering. There's job opportunities in these sectors. Where we've seen some more of a struggle certainly have been, of course, in automotive over the past few years. And the jobs have really, gone away from manufacturing, even though we see some of the jobs come back.
Ruggi says many people are taking precautions, cutting back on expenses and putting money into savings just in case a job is lost. For people who are unemployed, she says to stay focused on networking with both your personal and social networks. Make sure you let people know you're looking for work, she adds, as you never know what the next job might appear, what the next job opportunity might appear as. And taking a look at national news headlines, Virginia Tech is mourning the death of a 39-year-old Army veteran and father of five. The campus police officer was gunned down in a school parking lot yesterday after killing Officer Derek Krause. The gunman killed himself. Police are currently searching for a motive. The family of a retired FBI agent Robert Levinson, who vanished years ago in Iran, has gone public with a plea to his unknown kidnappers. The video message released on the Levinson's family website asks the kidnappers to reveal their demands so the family can work to bring Levinson home. And overseas, a British medical review finds that a woman's chance of developing mental health issues do not increase after an abortion, but issues do increase in women with unwanted pregnancies. Doctors say the problem of unwanted pregnancy needs more attention. News time is 8:11.
If you just look at me when he talks, it would be so much easier.
What happened?
I was supposed to unload the shipment from the home office yesterday, but I didn't. I thought he said to call the home office, so I did. I checked in, and they seemed a little curious, but I told them I was just following orders. So today, he called me and chewed me out because the shipment had an urgent order on it. The customer's really upset, and you know that kind of stuff rolls downhill. I swear, I did not hear him say to unload that shipment.
Well, now will you make an appointment with ASI? We can use the money in your Flex account. We need to use it anyway.
I guess. It's better than getting fired.
Are you struggling at work to hear those around you? misunderstanding orders given by supervisors, or just missing out on jokes around the break table, untreated hearing loss could be the culprit. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI, and we can help. If you have funds in your Flex account that you need to use or lose by the end of the year, now's a good time to call for an appointment. I'll take the time to answer any questions about your hearing and how it can be improved, and if needed, which hearing device would best fit your loss and your expectations. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in our funeral announcement this morning here on KJAN, Rodney Carlson, age 55, of Atlantic, died Monday. Services for Rodney Carlson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. John Joseph Finken, age 85, of Defiance, died Monday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for John Finken will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Robert Marion Paulson, age 93, of Eldridge and formerly of Avoca, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Robert Paulson will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. 72-year-old Jerome Paulie of Erling died Wednesday. A massive Christian burial service for Jerome Paulie will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Milton K. Larimer, age 80, of Stewart, died Monday. Funeral services for Milton Larimer will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. And Bobby Eugene Huebner, age 74, of rural Lewis, died Sunday. A gathering service for Bobby Huebner will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the home of Gary and Cindy Buboltz in Lewis. The Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That's a check of our news brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson reporting.